Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're the dirtiest boy I know.
The dirtiest boy I know in town.
I'd like to appeal directly to every single person listening to this saying, you, yes, you, are the dirtiest person I know.
I'm the dirtiest guy you know. I'm down in the sewer kissing the rats because I'm the dirtiest boy you know.
You're a human rat king.
I'm a human rat king. Is that when like all of our tails get tied together?
Yeah, that's when I met you.
Yes.
I looked around and your tail was tied to my tail.
And I was like,
I can't get away from this dirty boy.
That's how we started the show. That's how it became Luke and Pete's Summer. Luke, you're dressed impeccably today. You're wearing a t-shirt and a shirt. And the shirt is short-sleeved. It's very much like, it's bus driver chic is what it is.
You want to see it?
Yeah, it's lovely. Great. What you need is some really visible arm tattoos to be a bus driver.
Bus driver, it is bus driver chic. And I'm actually very happy with that.
Yeah.
Although I believe that religious reasons aside, I believe that bus drivers seem like they have to be clean shaven.
What? What? So you're not allowed a beard?
Just
is
a...
I've
think
seen
of a bus
people...
driver.
Yeah.
Imagine one in your mind. Definitely tattoos on the forearms.
Yeah.
In your mind, do they have a beard? They don't.
Yeah. I think it's because, like, I think they're more moustache men. I think they'd be more... because they're all ex-army. That's where they got their tattoos, possibly prison. And they are, yeah, they're sort of, they have HGV licenses because they got it in the army.
Is that what you need?
I think so. I think you've got to be, you've got to have a pretty severe license to get yourself an to get yourself a bus.
I wonder if there was, is there a specific, so look, I've just looked it up now, Peter. There's
large
actually a specific.
Vehicle.
Yeah, it's called a passenger carrying vehicle driving license entitlement.
Well, could I get one of those?
Transferable, though, probably.
Well, I mean, a lot of HGV drivers illegally carry passengers over the border.
I come from a line of bus drivers. My granddad was a bus driver.
Oh, that seems.
I told you.
That seems like that was probably the first generation of bus drivers, presumably. Granddad, yeah.
And he's got forearm tattoos.
And he's got forearm tattoos, see?
And I told you this before, but I want to remind you of this because I think there'll be new listeners to the show that won't know this fact about my lineage.
Mm.
And it's 100% true.
Right.
The conductor on my granddad's bus went on to be the bad guy in the Schwarzenegger film, The Running Man.
Right, okay. Very charismatic man, I remember now, yeah. So who
who
taught your granddad to drive buses? How did he...
Army,
did he
mate.
Army, exactly, army.
He was in the Royal Engineers.
Right. So you're allowed to go straight from... back then, like, licenses.
50s. Do what you want.
Yeah, licenses. You'd get your license in the army and just... if you're in the war, you're like, come on, you've seen dead people. Like, just fucking crack on, mate. You can drive a car. That's fine.
Yeah, you know, like in the US, if you've served in the forces, there's the GI Act. It means you can get educational... you get education basically for free.
Right, okay.
So GI Act means that, say you're in the army or whatever, and you see combat, whatever. I can't remember the specific details, but of course in the US university education is you know, notoriously expensive.
Mm.
If you've served in the forces, you get to go through that process for free under the GI Act. I reckon probably in the 50s in this country, if you'd been in the Second World War or the Korean War, there's a kind of unspoken GI Act where you can basically just crack on and do what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you sort of go, I've seen war. What have you seen? It's a perfect comeback. Exactly. I wouldn't worry about the education, America. Just work on getting them homed. You know what I mean? Get them housed first. Yeah. It's hard to find a place to store your books when you're living on Skid Row, one would suggest.
Yeah. And what are you suggesting from that?
I'm just suggesting the Americans and it's probably the world at large don't take care of the veterans.
Oh, that's a very noble point to make.
Thank you.
But we were talking about bus drivers.
Yeah.
You didn't answer the question.
Right.
You imagine a bus driver, you're not imagining the beard. For some reason, it's not a profession that lends itself to a beard.
Because bus drivers exclusively have those little knobs on their steering wheel and they go like that. And if you get that caught in your beard, that could be an atrocious accident.
I love it. It's just a really good point. I love it. It'd be like catching your tie in some kind of machinery.
Yeah.
I like it when you walk around the street and you see cars parked. Very, very occasionally. In fact, rarely, I would say. You do see a little steering knob on a steering wheel that someone's put on there themselves and you think, that person means business.
I think it might be illegal on a car. I think it might actually be illegal.
I think it's illegal unless you're driving with a disability.
Right, okay. I would say that, like, those knobs, like, because I would find that quite useful because I've become a complete full-on dad mode. I sneeze loudly and I steer sometimes around corners.
And when you do that and you're reversing, do you put your other arm behind the seat next to you?
Yeah, just to see what I'm doing.
I do that all the time.
Actually, I just close my eyes because I've got a Ray Parkinson sensor.
I've got a camera, but I don't use it.
Beep, beep,
I'm not using it.
Beep, beep.
Mine goes like this.
Like aliens. Mine goes beep, beep. And when it goes beep, I can't beep anymore. That's my polyps. Beep. It can't.
Try again. Why can't you beep? Just beep.
Boop. I can't. I've completely lost my voice. I don't know what's going on.
Stop a minute. Just stop at what you think is a beep. And just mimic what I do.
Beep.
Ready? Wait. Went ready? Beep.
Beep. I've lost my voice. It's been like
your
months.
Ska punk dancing all over again.
Awful. But beep. But when it goes beep, I know for a fact I've got a good 3 centimetres more. But
do you try and push it? I tried to push it,
yeah, because I was like, I've got loads. And that's what bumpers are for at the end of the day. But I find that my hand can be too slidey on the wheel. Sometimes I spit on my hand to get more purchase on the wheel. That's disgusting,
are you the only person
isn't it?
That drives the car?
That's disgusting. Yeah, yes, it is.
That's fine.
Or I just lean back and let Sammy Amiobi lick my hand and just go that way.
Yeah, could you train Sammy Amiobi to lick the steering wheel on your behalf?
I'm gonna say no, I can't turn to do fucking anything.
What about you know when you buy a magazine, you get a free CD and it's like that kind of sticky stuff.
Yeah,
it's an amazing product that you don't see it anywhere else.
Right.
You can stick that on your steering wheel.
Oh, what, like a little bit of blue tack for
do you know that product I mean?
I do know what you mean. You only ever saw that. It was like I think they used to call it hot snot. Hatsnat.
I can see why.
Yeah, instead of soldering, you could use Hatsnat, and it's a real mess. It just looks like Hotsnot.
Speaking of the older public transport professionals. So I might have mentioned this to you in terms of the general geographic location of where I grew up, but we used to go out on the piss in Portsmouth, right?
Right, yeah.
But I grew up in Gosford. You've got a friend in Fareham, haven't you?
I do, yeah. We do go out with Portsmouth quite a lot, yeah.
So the way you would do it from Fareham is you'd probably just go on the road around the top of the harbour because it's a little bit easier. But in Gosport, if people who are listening can imagine it, you're basically the other end of a horseshoe, and the harbour's in the middle. So
the quickest way to do it would be across the water.
Yeah, it's not that efficient to drive all the way around.
Yeah.
Obviously, at the end of a long old night out and you've still got 20 quid in your back burner, you can jump in a cab. But by far the most efficient and up until relatively recently, the cheapest way to get across to Portsmouth would be on the ferry. And there's this ferry service which just does that ferry, I think, called the Gosport Ferry Company or whatever. And they've basically got a monopoly on it. And it's a big kind of conversational hot potato down there because the prices are really expensive now. It used to be like a quid to get across. It's about an 8-minute journey. It's like a fiver now. But anyway, the guys that start, with the exception of the guy who pilots the boat, the captain or whatever you call him, everyone else who staffs that service are like ex-con tough guys.
Ex-con, right, okay.
So they're like either, they've like fallen on tough times or they're ex-military or they've served time in jail and they are all like proper rugged think of the roughest bus driver, times it by 100.
Put him on the water.
And that's what you've got. And the reason for that is because, of course, in the evenings, people get punchy.
Yeah, so,
so they muck around.
So they're security staff and...
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, obviously servicemen down there as well. So it's all... it's you've got to be good, I think. You've got to be good and you've got to be quick, you've got to be fast.
It's probably a mix-up. But what I used to be impressed by every single time as a kid is because, obviously, when you're a kid, they just look massive and hard. Mm. And they are both those things. I mean, I've been there relatively recently and they still seem quite hard. Mm. But what I used to like is that... when the ferry would approach the side it was travelling to, you've obviously got those big iron, like raw iron kind of, I don't know what you call them, but they're basically the things that you chuck a rope around to tie it on.
Yes.
Yeah. What would you call
those
that?
Buggers? And people have proper, like, different rope knots that they sort of slip it on, don't they?
The way these guys would do it is they'd have a big, long, thick rope, but it's got a hoop on the end.
Right.
Right? And they would, honestly, it was amazing. They would chuck that with the hoop over the receptacle, for want of a better word, from absolutely fucking miles away.
Would they ever kind of ever kind of miss?
So I imagine they did miss,
right?
And you just pulled the rope back and you do it again.
Mm.
But because you're doing like 50 times a day, and some of them have been working there for like 10 years plus, you just get extraordinarily good at it.
Yeah.
And like, so I never remember seeing a miss, but they would be throwing it from like 15 meters away.
They should
and be landing on it.
They need to sort of teach me how to do the hooker duck at Southend Pier, because I find it quite difficult.
Mate, if they go to Southend Pier, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, they're doing hoop. They're doing throw the hoop on the thing like really easily, aren't they?
They're going to hoover up every single cuddly toy on that pier.
Yeah, true. Awesome.
I'm not sure if they want to carry on after they've got a couple, but if they do, they're going to get as many as they want.
Mm. They could put them at the. They could put them in the ship, couldn't they? To soften their image somewhat.
It could do, actually. It does speak to the kind of expectations that were laid upon me as a working class young lad growing up, that the thing I wanted to be able to do more than anything else was that.
Yeah, what? Throw a rope over a...
From that far away.
I don't know. Why are they bloody... They're kind of like sort of anchors, aren't they? Sort of land-based anchors.
Yeah, like an anchor.
A big post.
Most of them would do it with a roll-up in the corner of their mouth as well.
They shouldn't be doing that because that's... I imagine the ship is doused in diesel.
Exactly, but it adds a certain je ne sais quoi to the proceedings, let's be honest.
I think
you also weren't allowed to smoke on the boat, but were.
But they were, because they were working there.
But the captain would probably not want to tell them because they're fucking hard.
Ever flirted with the hovercraft late at night? Does the hovercraft run late at night?
No, I mean, because the hovercraft's going to the Isle of Wight, mate. So there's not really...
Right, so they don't sort of like do little journeys. It would be perfect for little journeys because it just sort of hops on, hops off, doesn't it?
I don't know if it's still going even. The problem with the hovercraft is you've got a lot of admin there.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is the hovercraft, from memory, goes into Southsea, which is over the Portsmouth side anyway, so that's no good to me.
Right.
But when it comes in onto the Pebble Beach, I mean, they've got massive plastic screens around everywhere because you're basically firing little tiny missiles to the tune of about 2,000.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, because I guess it would pick up some of the rocks, wouldn't it? Right.
I do like the idea of having my own little personal one-person hovercraft.
Mm. Going down the Everglades.
I can see you with that.
I could. I mean, I just have made it out of a desk fan. And I'm looking at a desk fan in my pile of rubbish right now, actually. I was going to try and fix it, try to spray some WD-40 into it. That sometimes helps with alternators and fans and stuff, but didn't clean it, didn't help, doesn't work.
Ready for summer?
Ready for summer, yeah. I mean, this is the time to buy your aircon units, isn't it? Because they get quite expensive in the summer. People get quite
desperate. I bought my aircon unit in February of last year.
Mm. Any good?
Got it for a song.
Still going?
Still going.
Kicking them all?
Well, the reason I bought it is because I knew we were going to have a baby and it was going to be probably, as ever, a pretty hot summer in London. So I didn't want to muck about. And I realised you can't really use aircon that much with a baby.
Oh, why? Because it just makes a noise.
And the noise is good. It's just, I think it's just, you can't have them too close to a unit like that because they get cold and dehydrated and stuff.
Oh, right, okay. What about babies who live in quite hot climates that are just constantly pounded by aircon?
Not my problem.
Not your problem. It's not your problem. Everything's, with babies, everything's like a surprise.
Do you think I haven't got enough to worry about?
Everything's just...
Why am I going to be worried about the concerns of other fictional people with babies?
No, but I'm just saying, like aircon's on all of the time in America and the Far East. And
They generally tend to be units either in a window or up high. What I'm saying is, if you get a portable unit, aircon unit and you've got it in your baby's nursery or whatever because it's really hot, don't put it right next to the baby's head.
Don't put it right next to the baby's head. We know that, at the very least.
And you can't, but I don't think you can put a fan on a baby too close either.
Oh, God, can we not have any fun? I want to put a fan on a baby, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you don't really want the baby to overheat either, but I think, you know, the human body...
What is the premium temperature for... Because I noticed on a mate's... little camera that they came around and installed when they stayed around our house. There has a little temperature on it. Has a little temperature check on it. That's quite interesting.
So I'd say probably babies don't actually. I mean, this is not official medical advice, by the way. So if you're listening to this expecting a child,
it's not medical. It's baby preparation.
Yeah, well, even so, always use the NHS website is what I would say. If you're in the UK, and if you listen in the other country, you've probably got your own resources. But anyway. I would say, I believe, based on what I've read before and my own experience, it's probably between 16 and 20 degrees Celsius, I would say. They don't need it that hot. I mean, it doesn't need to be too hot.
I think they'd just get too snoozy otherwise, wouldn't they?
Yeah, my boy is a very good sleeper, thankfully, and he regularly sleeps in those kind of temperatures, and he's fine. I've never had a problem. So that's what I would go with. But, Pete, I do want to change train slightly, just because we've had an absolute, maelstrom of correspondence.
Right.
From people who really want to get involved in learning a bit more about your dancing days, your clubbing days, your
dancing days. Do you remember that band?
Great. They were a band.
They were a band. Swedish.
What was that song they had? It was actually really good.
It was just called something about dancing, wasn't it?
No, you're thinking of Los Campesinos.
It's a Swedish girl band, wasn't it? Those Dancing Days. With those
the song I think was just called Those
Dancing Days.
It was called
Those Dancing Days. It was Those Dancing Days. That was their big breakout hit. And whatever happened to Those Dancing Days? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. And Good Shoes.
They broke up in 2011. Ah. Well, Good Shoes, I've got a story about that, mate.
Where did Good Shoes go? For crying out loud. They had a good album.
I was in a pub for a birthday party, and it was my friend Jack, and he's a year older than me, and it was his 30th. So that dates it. 14 years ago it would have been. And the barman at the pub where the birthday party was the lead singer of Good Shoes.
Ah, we've got our answer then.
So if that answers your question, great.
He was the manager, to be fair, so maybe he bought the pub with the proceeds of the Good Shoes album.
I don't think that.
Let's move on to the Rifles, Black Kids. I'm trying to think what the other bands I liked.
Who were the band that you were most excited? Because at this point, you are riding high. You've got the breakfast show on XFM.
Yeah.
You are really a man about town in the indie scene.
Yeah.
You had so many people back in the day. I was probably one of them who thought that they were the guy, the fucking guy on the scene, going out all the time, doing their thing. But actually, Pete, you were that guy. There was no one out there who could lend themselves in such an authentic way to the 2000s indie scene than you.
Luke,
What were the bands you were excited about at the time? Talk to us about it.
Oh, mate. Good Shoes, The Rifles, The Rakes, any of those ones that people would loosely term at Indie Landfill these days. Anything like that, really, I suppose. Again,
has it dated badly, that scene?
I think some of them have. I think when I used to get very excited about bands like Paul Tiger Taylor stuff, and you listen to that stuff now and you go, oh, it's all quite derivative, isn't it? It's all very jangly guitar, bit of drums. We'll see you in Shoreditch on a Friday night. It's like, but I would say, Luke, my greatest sort of in... being a an industry wonk and all that
was
industry insider is that every time I used to go to after school at the London School of Economics,
I used to go there.
The security guard used to let me in because he had a band, and the only ID I had was my XFM pass. So
that is a flex.
Absolute flex. He'd occasionally come and buy me a gin and tonic. I mean, that is what it's all about. You occasionally got in for free at the London School of Economics.
That is one version of what it's all about. I would like to put to our listeners another example of what that scene was all about.
Right.
And it's a message you sent me on WhatsApp saying, and I'm just going to read it verbatim.
Okay.
Me and Mark Haynes got fired from the XFM breakfast show as a direct result of allowing the Hobgoblin to talk about his beer on air.
Yeah. That's how it all ended for us. We had a we had a, I love Bob, our producer, but he came from very local radio, Portsmouth Radio.
Right, so the rules are the rules.
Power FM. Where,
what does the hobgoblin sound like?
Well, he was brought every morning. You'd get some PR companies chancing their arm and bringing like a kind of spokesperson or a photo opportunity to the front door. So the DJs would come down, or you know, usually me as someone who wasn't a DJ, one of the sidekicks would come down, get your picture taken, get your free.
Second best sidekick ever in the top 10 sidekicks called the Times.
Exactly. Yeah. And you would get your picture taken, you'd get your freebie, and then you'd fuck off back upstairs. And it was never something you wanted. It was always just a piece of crap you didn't want. Anyway, our producer was a little... I think he came from Power FM, and he was a bit local radio.
I grew up listening to Power FM.
I know. It's South Coast, isn't it? And he's a lovely blog and really talented. But he had a real... I think he still had those kind of like local radio sensibilities in that... If you're on Power FM, if you're on the South Coast, and a spokesperson comes in, you're like, yes, we just need content. No celebrities come down to see us on the South Coast, so let's just get the spokesperson in. Let's get our picture taken. But there was a succession of the alien from Alien versus Predator came in. the honey monster came in.
What's he got to say?
Exactly. Well, nothing, it turns out, because he was expressly told not to speak by the PR. We got a couple of words out of him, and then the honey monster came on. The honey monster wasn't allowed to speak. But the hobgoblin, when he came on, he was on for about an hour and a half on a London station. Just honestly,
just a bloke.
It was a bloke who was like, you talk like this. And he'd pretend to be a hobgoblin, and he'd be like, "Oh, I'm coming in. I want to talk about my delicious beer that I make.
What's the matter, lager boy?
Down in my all that." And he'd just sort of
you might taste something.
And he'd sort of do little naughty jokes about, I got to keep my beer away from those Stella fairies. The fairies, little Stella fairies, would come in and they'd wee in my drink. Because the little
stuff,
Stella.
Yeah. I can see what this went on.
And I think we cajoled him into talking about his ex-wife, which I'm not really sure was autobiographical.
For an hour and a half, totally. Oi, totally unpaid.
Totally
he's
unpaid.
Got an hour and a half
he's got an
for
hour
nothing,
of... Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know how the sales floor was at Global at that point. I mean, to be fair, they were... There was there was a reason. There was a reason why XFM was never that successful. But, yeah, I mean, we gave them like an hour and a half. To be fair, I got one free copy of Grand Theft Auto 4 out of Rockstar, and I did an entire show doing the weather from Liberty City. that was, again, sales floor. There's no wonder we got fired.
My department. I was working on the sales floor at the time.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the hobgoblin beer hobgoblin. Every time you cut to ads, him getting standing up ready to leave, and you go, no, stay.
No, please come
it's
back.
Fine.
We've had John Cena's cancelled.
What did the gaffer say about that?
I think I only heard about it after we'd been fired, but it was made very clear by certain members of the sales staff that the straw that broke the Stella's back was the hobgoblin.
Who was in charge then? Was it Deegan?
Deegan, as in Matt Deegan. Was he in charge? Was he ever in charge?
I don't know.
In charge of XFM?
Yeah.
There was a guy called Adam. Adam. He worked for Acast for a bit. He's gone now.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. He wasn't very happy with you then. Alex get the bullet as well for that?
Alex got the bullet a little later on. It took about another 4 months after that. So,
right.
It was.
You've got to have
stuff.
A little bit of leeway at breakfast because the timing sends you mad. Like the hours sends you completely mad.
You'd think anything's good content. We used to interview a man who worked in a fish shop every Friday.
He's not enough content.
Well, to be fair, he was a man who was frequently fined for selling necrotized fish. So it's not as if he's...
not the Billingsgate guy.
It is, yeah. It was Roger Barton.
Yeah.
Roger Barton.
Yeah. He's a character, though.
He's a character. He's a turf accountant.
You are going to... is he dead now?
No, he's still with us, I think.
You got to beat fish.
Yeah, you are gonna. You know, sometimes you've got to weigh it up. This man has broken several trading laws, causing injury, illness for many members of the public. On the other hand, he's a bit of a character.
Exactly.
And we're making radio.
He may have put, he may have crossed out a sell by date on a crab, and written a new one. Yeah. But hey, time is fluid. Time is circular.
Give the crab a pen, he could do that himself.
Exactly. So,
the
yes.
Perfect crime. Mm. Let's have a quick break. When we come back, we've got some batteries to do. But if you have also been fired from a national radio station for allowing an unpaid advertorial, get in touch. Yep. I'm sure we'll get many emails about that one.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's the Look at Beach Show, and every single Thursday we talk about all things batteries. If you found an interesting battery in one of your bits of electronics, do let us know what you have found and take a picture and stuff. Sybil, I think we've only got two submissions this week, which is absolutely tragic. Raise your blummin' raise again. Sybil.
Before you name this,
okay.
Can I just get a sense check from you?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of or known someone called Sybil before? Apart from the lady in Fawlty Towers.
Sybil and Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah. It's rare, though, isn't it?
Percival.
What?
I knew a Percival.
It's rare.
It is rare. It's a rare name. But thank you, Sybil, from Japan. Hello again, Battery Boys. Here's one more I found. On 365, I think. Keep the great work. Love the podcast. More great batteries from Japan. I mean, it's not really sure what the brand Crucible. Is, but I think it's a really good... is it Crucible?
No, it's the Crucible of great batteries.
Oh, Crucible. Right, I see, yeah. What, I see what you've done there. Yeah,
mean to do that.
Fantastic.
On 365. So we've got photos. They're comprehensive.
We've got photos, yeah.
It's comprehensive artwork here. So I think they're obviously legit. I would say they're perfectly acceptable. They are indeed brand new players. No one else has ever sent on 365 into this show. They are new players and they enter the game.
And if I know Japanese craftsmanship, they're going to be lovely. And I do very much enjoy seeing a bit of like a sort of fleecy jumper and a couple of pair of nice black shoes pointing out. of the picture. It's very enjoyable.
It's a very cosy jumper, doesn't it?
Lovely. Matt, one new submission. Up and Up. Here's two. Long Life and Up and Up. But I think we're just going to go for Up
well,
and
Long
Up.
Well, Long Life's a long waste life. Of time.
Yeah, waste of time. Always going to be
Up and Up. So Up and Up are also a new player.
Hey!
But I've got a caveat to that, Peter. I need a ruling from you. And that is that Up and Up is a Target brand. So it's the brand of the official, you know, the official Target battery,
right?
And they've been reissued from this year. Are you still okay to accept them?
Yeah, I think so. I think, especially on a slow battery week, I think we're allowed to. Definitely. We're going up and up. We're going down and down and down and down. We're going up, 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 up and down.
The
Do
rifles,
the propeller. What?
The rifles.
No, the Wiggles, actually. There's one of the Wiggles. I'm obsessed with the Wiggles. There's one of the Wiggles who, when they do the propeller song, it's a new girl who's doing it, and because I'm a big fan of the Wiggles and have been for a long time. She's like a professional, I think, salsa dancer. She's like the best salsa dancer in the whole entire world. But can she make her arms go like propeller? No, she can't.
Can you do it?
There you go.
It's not bad. You know who the best person in the world at that is?
I don't know. Jimbo from Jimbo on the Jet Set?
It's John Hudson.
John Hudson of the Hudson of New York.
He used to be involved in Copper 90. He does a lot of content stuff. He's also a stand-up comic. He does a lot of improv stuff. He's a really funny man.
Luke likes him, weirdly.
I do, yeah. It's weird that, isn't
weird
it?
Weird that, isn't it?
I think it's because he's so plucky and he's such a nice bloke and genuine and authentic man. I think, you know what? I'm fine with you being a comedian because I think I can't really imagine you doing anything else.
Strong fencer. He fences.
He's also a very competitive fencer.
Yeah.
It sounds like we're making him up. We're not. Anyway, he does this bit, or he used to do this bit on his stand-up routine.
Right.
And he's quite, I mean, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. I do love him dearly. He is quite an odd-looking fella from a certain angle.
Oh.
But he leans into that because he does this propeller dance thing.
Right.
As an opener for his stand-up set.
Yeah.
And it is honestly just totally disarming.
Hmm.
He makes his body do things that you don't think anyone could do. I'm going to find the video of it because I've got it on WhatsApp. I watch it all the time. And I'm going to share it with our listenership. And they're going to see what I mean. It is instantly hilarious in a way I can't really explain.
Mm.
And I don't think you do it anywhere near as well as he does.
No, you're probably right, Hudson. Again, but Hudson's great with his arms. I think fencers generally are, aren't they? They've got good wrist work. Yeah,
it's a big part of it, isn't it? It has to be. Also, can I be potentially even more rude about John Hudson, but not in a vicious way?
Mm.
How hard do you reckon it is to be competitive at fencing?
It's quite an old school discipline,
isn't it? But does anyone do it?
Yeah, everyone does it. What do you mean?
Everyone
does it. All you need is a helmet and a foil, don't you?
But people don't do it, is what I'm saying. If you tried to find a fencing club in Leon C, you wouldn't be able to find one.
I bet you I would.
Go on, then.
All right, then.
Find one now. Fencing. The nearest fencing club to you will not be in Leon C. It'll be... My point is it's not a massively participated
in sport. There's literally one round the corner. Mayfair Drives and Patios Limited. Come on. Five-star fence fitter. Fencingsouthend.co.uk.
Thank you very much. The reason it's not very popular is because it's impossible to Google it, because that's all you get.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they need a rebrand, to be honest. Fencing Club, London.
I'd love to hear from a fencer. If you listen to this show and you're not John Hudson, well, I'd love to hear from John Hudson as well anyway, but if you were listening to this show and you're a fencer and you're not John Hudson, get in touch. Now, I mean a competitive fencer in terms of the old, presumably French sword fighting thing.
Yeah,
not putting fences up.
No, but we could use both because the Gales will not stop here in Leon C. And there's a Shrewsbury Southend Swords Fencing Club, and the main picture is a man who's got a sort of... the face mask, he's had it sort of painted in the liveries of the Union Jack, which of course they have.
I would have thought you'd be quite urbane and cosmopolitan if you liked fencing.
Yeah, you'd think you'd be almost a bit Spanish. You're like, the fencing grill is just stink of chorizo, wouldn't you? But
you're thinking like one
not.
Of the Musketeers or something.
I am.
Speaking of which, did you have a strong take on the St George's cross on the England kit thing on the Ramble?
I hadn't heard everyone else's opinion, so I should really keep my powder dry. But I think that it's upset the right people, and I'm all for chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Look at who's standing next to you.
Yeah.
When you have your take.
Yeah.
And if it's your usuals, then you know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that Keir Starmer's getting involved in this particular hot button topic, isn't it?
Why does he feel like he needs to be involved?
Well, when he doesn't get involved in other stuff, does he?
By the way, it's pleasing how badly that Joey Barton's fundraiser's gone, isn't it?
Isn't it a legal fund now? It's not really a fundraiser anymore, is it?
He's tried to get 100 grand.
Hmm.
And it is slowing to a trickle now.
Yeah, right. It's slowing down,
like 13K.
I mean, that's still pretty good for like unlikable people putting them, because the best thing about the sort of people who would usually support them, they're probably quite stingy as well. You know what I mean?
Oh, big time. But it's an irony though, isn't it? Because those types of people can invariably find out they can invariably tend to be very, very successful financially. So
yeah, because they're ruthless shitheads. Yeah, I guess.
So it's actually if they're really, really wealthy, it's a relatively small amount of the thing. The point is this. If you are someone who wants to embark on presumably some kind of broadcasting and media career, but you are so entitled, you haven't even bothered to work out the legalities of doing so, and you happen to already be a millionaire, it doesn't look that good asking otherwise relatively poor people for money, does it?
But that's isn't that the old grift shift?
At least sell them a doomsday.
Sell them some beans in a big can.
Do you know what? I'll tell you what.
Some supplements.
At least do some CBD gummies.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
JB,
don't just ask for money.
Get yourself some. Look, I loved some of your work for your car. I love that knockdown header for Check to Your Ear. We all enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Against Arsenal that time. But get yourself some CBD gummies for crying out loud. Hawk them down the market. All right, then.
Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here for crying out loud.
Nice time to finish, I think. Once you start talking about Joe Barton, I think legally you are obliged to wrap up your show because you've run out of things to talk about. So we'll do that right now.
All right, then.
Hello at lukeandpeach.com is the email address. All is welcome here. Unlike Barton, who's a shit, we welcome everyone here, whoever they are. So join us, subscribe, email us if you want. We're on social media as well, at Luke and Pete Show and at The Luke and Pete Show. And we will be back on Monday, but only after we've all had a bloody excellent weekend.
Yes. Stay in school. Ta-ta!
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.